It's good to see everyone here tonight. We are discussing tonight the work of elders, but we're going to mix in a few other things that I believe that are worthy of us considering. Talking about fundamentals of the faith. Last 2 weeks, we were discussing marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and we looked at some of those things as it relates to marriage, and we spent quite a bit of time on marriage and quite a bit of time on divorce and a little bit of time on remarriage. And so we'll discuss some tenets to that. But before we get into that, let's look at some passages as it relates to the work of elders, the work of elders. And it's important to understand this from a fundamental perspective, because we understand that elders are qualified men, depending on your studies, 26, 27 qualifications that we find in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and also Titus chapter 1. And I'm being very broad in that, so you can go back and look at that yourself. But we're not necessarily talking about the qualifications of elders, but rather their work, And we know that they do have a work that they are responsible for. And so before we actually start talking about some of those things, I want us to first hear from what God's word has to say. And we'll look at some scriptures that will guide our thinking. And then we'll make some comments and then open it up for a discussion. Titus chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, we see the qualifications, verses 5 through 9. Of course, we don't want to talk about that right now. Just want to focus on the work of the elders. What is their responsibility? What are their roles? What should they be doing? And so in Titus chapter 1, starting at verse number 10, for there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for dishonest gain. And so Paul gives us a picture of a few things that elders are responsible for. Now, I started here because I believe this is probably the most challenging. And the reason why is because to confront these type of individuals requires a great deal of honesty. It requires a great deal of courage. And it requires a great deal of camaraderie within the eldership itself. The reason why I say that is because working together to ensure that sound doctrine is being promoted and preached, and when there's opposition, now these men must be willing, able to defend and to deal with it in a very godlike way. Acts 20. In Acts 20, Paul is talking with the elders at Miletus from Ephesus, and he is meeting with them there because he could not go back to Ephesus. Remember, in Acts chapter 19, there was this riot that took place, and they were actually blaming Paul for that. And so he didn't go back there, but had the elders to meet him at the isle called Miletus. And so he's speaking with them and encouraging them. And he says something that I believe it is necessary for us to consider. Verse number 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. Now, let's stop there for a second. When we talk about the work of eldership, one of the works, they need to be looking at their own life. But they're also required as a group to look over the congregation, the flock, the flock. Now, notice who made them overseers of the flock, the Holy Spirit. That goes back to the qualifications. That goes back to the qualifications. The qualifications are given from the Holy Spirit. And remember, these men are to meet those qualifications. So therefore, the Holy Spirit is the one that makes elders, if you will. So he says, has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Now watch verse 30. Also from among you, from among the eldership, notice what he says. Men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. So another responsibility that elders have, they have the responsibility to make sure that individually they don't rise up and try to take over. And so you have a check and balance even within the eldership itself. And so elders are responsible not only for shepherding the flock, but making sure that the eldership is also being shepherded as well. Okay? No one is above the eldership. Not one. Yes, sir.
You said the term here, I'm often, they have to police themselves.
They have to police themselves. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And we'll talk more about that. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, you notice we're letting God speak first. We're not going into, what do you think? What are your thoughts on this? I'm not talking about that. That makes no hill of beans for us. We want, what does God say about these things? And then we can proceed forward in some of the discussion. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse number 1, ending at verse number 5. The elders who are among you, I encourage, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God. Now notice, shepherding, the idea of pastoring, if you will, idea of being involved with the sheep, being in the midst of the sheep. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you. So notice, among you, the elders here at 9th and Main are not over any other congregation, even in this city, this town. And so among us, we are responsible for the sheep that are here. Now, notice what they're responsible for. Serving as overseers, meaning that they see over, not by compulsion, but willingly. Notice the attitude. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you. And so there again is that idea that we are not lording over you. We're not ruling over you to the point where we are tyrants. No, sir, no, ma'am. And now there are some, especially in denominationalism, where you have your head elders, head pastors, most reverends, and they are the overseer in the singular sense of the word. I'm not making this up. Go back and check it out. We have those who have come out of denominationalism. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And so you have this leader, this pastor, this reverend, most reverend, different terminologies, and he is the leader, and he's lording over the people, and then he have those underneath him. That is not the biblical example we have. Notice what he goes on to say. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being in samples, the King James renders, example, the New King James renders, to the flock. And so one of the responsibilities, the work of the shepherd or shepherds, is to be an example. Literally in the Greek, they are to make an impression upon the people of God. The people of God ought to be able to see the life of the shepherd and shepherds and say, that's how I'm supposed to be too. Okay? Now notice what it goes on to say. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Another work of the shepherds, many times we don't think about this, is to understand that our reward will be coming. And so God is teaching us as shepherds to also wait. There is sometimes no gratification immediately sometimes in the work of a shepherd. Sometimes it's so difficult that you just want it to kind of relax a little bit, but sometimes it doesn't relax. And so we know that if we're doing what is right, according to the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, one day we will receive our reward when he comes. Delayed gratification. Now, we live in a time where people want their gratification now. Elders should have already worked on that. They understand that their reward is coming. Their reward is coming. Verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. And so the idea of an elder is an idea of an older man, and they ought to position themselves to be respected by the younger. All right, finally, Hebrews 13:17. I didn't use 7. I could, but I believe that's probably more looking at the minister, even though the elders are very much in focus. However, verse 17 is definitely the eldership, and I want us to key in on something. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Why? For they, plural, watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. The word obey there is very important. It's the idea of being that example and being a persuasive example. And so through persuasion, elders are followed. Well, what do you mean by that? You ought to be able to look at the life of the elder and say, I want to be like that, because their lives demonstrate the life of Christ. And so we persuade you to follow us. And I'm glad that God did that. It's the Greek word pytho. And the idea there is, okay, I'm persuading you, follow me. You don't do what I say and not as I do. Now, some parents, they operate that way. That's not good. They ought to be able to see and they ought to be able to follow. All right. So before we get into any discussion, let me give you a few things that I've considered. When we think about the work of an eldership, it involves being the first line of defense. That's why some congregations that don't have elders, they have their minister, and it's almost like he's the first line of defense. But truth be told, God desires eldership in every single congregation, Acts 14:23. And it is for the protection of the flock. And they are the first line of defense, as we would say in America, foreign and domestic. Foreign and domestic. Foreign and domestic. All right? Because sometimes foreign enemies, they rise up and you got to deal with them. And domestic enemies, they rise up and you got to deal with them. And so they are the first line of defense. Number two, they have the responsibility of teaching and caring for the flock. That implies time. That implies spending their resources to make sure that they are involved. Number three, being examples of service and loyalty to God. One of the works of an elder or eldership is to demonstrate loyalty to God himself. And this is why they, through persuasion, persuade you to follow the Christ as well. And so elders owe it to God. They owe it to Jesus. They owe it to themselves. They owe it to the church to be responsible. We owe it to God. We owe it to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to you as the church to be spiritually responsible. So when you see our lives, you know for a fact that we're following the Christ. Ezekiel 34, let's turn there. I promise you I will open it up. But I want to put this out as a way of a foundation where we can build, okay? And so elders are not just good men so they can make the decisions on how much money to spend or the building, make sure that the minister stay in line. No. No, there's a lot that goes on. And a good eldership ought to go to sleep tired. Why? Because they have many hats to wear. And so in Ezekiel 34, we're not going to look at all of this. Go back and read Ezekiel 34 in your own time. Ezekiel has these things. In verse number 2, we see that the elders have the responsibility of feeding the flock. And it was actually a woe pronounced against the elders at this time because they were not feeding the flock. Notice what the Bible says. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God to the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should you not shepherd? Should you not the shepherds feed the flock? That's a great question that God is asking. He's getting on the shepherds because they should be feeding the flocks, but they're not feeding the flocks. Look at verse number 4. What else should they be doing? He says, the weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty, you have ruled them. So notice, they should have been strengthening the flock, but they allowed the flock to go astray. And look what was going on. We have a responsibility to do that. Look at verse number 5. They have a responsibility to secure the flock. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the beasts of the field. This is metaphoric language, figurative language of God's people going about. And they're being consumed by the other nations, yea, sin. Notice what he says. When they were scattered. Now look at verse number 8. They should have been seeking after the flock. We read 7 and 8. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord, Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. All right, so I wanted to lay that foundation because the work of the shepherd is great. It's a lot of work. And this is one of the fundamentals of the faith. And when you think of the faith, we're talking about this system of teaching that has come forth from God, gave it to his son, gave it to the Spirit. The apostles were inspired by the Holy Spirit. They wrote this down and we have it once for all delivered unto the saints. So what is the responsibility of the elders? To guide the sheep, to guide the local church, to guide the flock in matters of life, period. In matters of life. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am, but the principle is that they're shepherds. And so just as shepherds in the church, we have a responsibility to do the same thing. So God was getting on the shepherds of Israel at that particular time because they were being irresponsible to their responsibilities. And so we have responsibilities as shepherds today in the same likeness. Okay? Good question. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? So when we think about what is our responsibility? All right, being an example, yes, but to help in the guidance of life. Every Christian, Philippians 2:12, has the responsibility of working out their own salvation. This is why, brethren, you have a responsibility of studying to show whoself approved unto God. Yourself. It's not the elder's responsibility to bombard your house, to encroach your house, to break into your house and make you do right. As a matter of fact, Brother Royce, do we have that right to do that? Do we have authority to break in someone of the member's house and tell them what to do? Oh, no. No, we don't. That's your responsibility. Every single man in here has a responsibility of being head over his house. The elders don't have that responsibility. As a matter of fact, it will be a violation. Every man has that responsibility. But elders should be husbands, fathers, men in the community that are walking according to the Spirit's teaching. Every now and then, I got to tell my wife I'm sorry. Wow. Well, I said it again today because I said, baby, I'm sorry. You know, you live long enough. And I mean, if you practice it, you're going to have to say I'm sorry every now and then, right? Shouldn't the members see elders being like that? Yes or no?
Yes.
How about men in the community? Shouldn't elders be good spiritual men in the community? Shouldn't they be men who are upright and make good impressions upon those who are outside? Should they be known as men who are scandalous and thieves and willing to get over? No, absolutely not. The responsibility, one of the responsibilities of elders is being an example. Being a good husband, being a good father, ruling his house well. It's one of the qualifications, but we should be able to see how he treats his wife. Now, many, when we are dealing with the qualification, the husband of one wife, I've often heard that. That's true. Scripture says that. But Brother Brian, shouldn't something be involved in how he treats that one wife? Well, he's the husband of one wife, but he's a mean old joker. We've seen that before. It's not right. Yeah, and he's the husband of one wife, been married 50 years, but the wife could care less if he lives or die. Now, y'all laughing, but that's true. And we'll put a man in the eldership all because he's been married for a long period of time, but he's mean as a snake. No, that's not right. How does he treat that one wife? He ought to treat that one wife like Christ treats what?
The church.
His one bride. That's why one thing that God cannot be, Jesus cannot be, is the husband of multiple women. He's the husband of one wife. He has one wife. Brother Royce, you had your hand up? Bro? Who had the hand up? Was that you? Eric, go ahead.
I was going to say, having the reflection of Christ, being a husband and being all what you said, because that's... all are taught to be as well as we are.
That's right. So he has a responsibility of being a good example as a husband, a good example as a father. And so as a father, he is one that is leading and guiding his house. And we ought to be able to see that. You ought to be able to see how he treats his children. Why? Because his children, that's his fruit. I believe it is Matthew chapter 11, verse 19. I think it's Matthew 11, verse 19. It's a good principle right here, if this is the right passage. Matthew 11, 19. Let's see what that says. Oh, that's 10. Matthew 11:19. Yes. But wisdom is justified by what? Her children. There's a good principle there. We ought to be able to see how the fruit looks based upon that man. Okay? So, one of the works of a shepherd is how he treats his family, how he is seen in the community. Last week, we were talking about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and a couple of comments that were made after the fact was, well, you know, perhaps we can talk about what can singles do in order to ensure that they're going to have a good marriage. What can singles do? And then another question was brought about, how can elders, and I'll throw that part in, help in matters of reconciliation? Okay, is that fair? I think that's fair. So I wanted to talk about that because when we think about the work of elders, that is the work of eldership. That's not just the work of the preacher. Do we know that the preacher can be so bogged down in the work and the elders are flying by doing nothing? But when everybody is doing their share, and we'll talk about that here in a few minutes, it's a beautiful work. It's a beautiful thing. A few things I want us to consider. Go back to Titus. Look at chapter 2. Elders, this is why they're in the church. Now, I know, now Brother Brewer made an excellent point this morning, and I know you heard it. The question is, have you pondered it for a little bit? And he talked about podcasts and things of that nature, and really, those things have really kind of taken over the eldership. Well, and there's no need for me going to talk to the eldership. I just, let me see what Brother So-and-so, let me see what this podcast has to say about it. Well, we have elders in the Lord's church for a reason. They're older men, men with experience, men who has, if I can say it this way, been there and done that. And if they haven't, even within the eldership, someone has some experience with it. And so in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, take notice of what Paul told Titus to instruct the congregation. And I would say through implication, the elders have the same responsibility. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Elders have the responsibility of ensuring that sound doctrine is being taught. Hands down. No questions asked. Friends, there is no exception to that rule. Amen? None. But notice that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Literally in the Greek, to be friendly to their husbands, to be friendly with their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the younger men or the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourselves to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That one who is an opponent may be, ashamed, having nothing evil to say to or of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, which is stealing, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Now, the reason why I bring this up, when we think about talking to young people, you're about to get married, you're considering getting married, these are great little tips and tools that can be given to young people. Because if you don't have these things in line, in order, you enter into a marriage, you'll ruin it in the beginning. A young man that doesn't want to work, he wants to play all the time. He's going to get married. Eventually, that young lady is going to say, you're going to have to stop playing. We need to get to work. Amen. Young ladies, you can't go into your marriage and the next thing you know, you're treating him as he's a second-class citizen. One thing about young ladies, It's all Twitter pating, all googly eyes in the beginning, but after a while, you got to get to work. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the work of elders is to help in that area too. This is why we have to have the whole counsel of God taught and preached. Just can't preach on one thing. The minister can't preach on his hobby horse. He needs to preach all of God's word. Bringing young people in and helping them to see, okay, this is your responsibility when you become a husband, when you become a wife. How about when you're going out on a job? You need to be a good worker. Why? Because if you're not, you can't support your family. Eli, when you think about young people who want to come and work for you, if they're not working hard, do you want to keep them around? No. But they got a family to support. Is that your problem? It's not your problem. I got jobs. I got to keep a business going. You know, as elders, we have that responsibility of talking to the young people. We ought to be a good example. When you go out to work, you're not representing you only, your family only. You're representing Christ and the Lord's church. Because the last thing we want is for someone to say, you know what, that guy's a member of the Lord's church. He's lazy as a bum. I remember an old story. Preacher said this. And this is, of course, back in the old days when preachers used to talk about members who were out in the community working. And employers used to say, do y'all have more people like you at the church? Well, yeah. Can you send them my way? Because if you work that hard and they've got more people like you there, I want them here. Amen? That's our responsibility as well. Those are good little marital tips. There's nothing wrong with young people coming to the elders and saying, hey, can you talk to me and my wife or talk to me and my future wife? Why? Well, if anybody should have some sense of what a good marriage is, it ought to be the elders in the church. Why are y'all looking at me like that?
Mike, it says that in 1 Timothy 3:4-5.
Yes, sir. Worse than an infidel, right?
Well, he can't take care of the house of
God. That's right.
So, I mean, that should be a good representation.
But maybe the reason why they don't come to him is because the men they put in that position didn't do that.
That's right.
Don't have a stable house.
It's not in order.
It's not in order. Anyone else? So we're not just talking about things as relates to matters of the church, if I can say it that way. But going out, being a good example, being a hard worker, look at Colossians 3 and look at verse number 23 and 24. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Brother Ryan, if you don't mind, can you read Colossians 3, 23 and 24?
Whatsoever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ.
The word heartily there, here he's talking about working a job. The word heartily there literally means from your soul. You ought to be working hard. Well, a good marital point, especially you have a family, you need to take care of that family, men, young men, you gotta work hard. Your wife ought to be able to see that you're working hard for them, you're progressing, you are moving forward, perhaps on your job, in your career, they ought to be able to see that. Well, the work of the elders is to ensure that, to encourage that. Hey, work hard. There's nothing wrong with that. And you look at the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon talks about working hard. Enjoying the fruit of your what? Your labor. There's nothing wrong with that. And as our good brother said this morning, and he brought out a point that I guess I haven't really considered. Matthew chapter 6, dealing with possessions. Nothing wrong with having possessions, Brother Brian, but make sure you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Some of the richest men in Scripture love God. Abraham is one of them for sure. There's nothing wrong with that. Just be focused. And so these are some of the things that need to be considered. Well, Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and look at verse number 34. Here's another little tip. Elders, we have a responsibility of helping our young people be what? Pure. In what? In body. Is that it? Absolutely not. Brother Luke, if you don't mind, stand and read 1 Corinthians 7, verse 34. So one of the works that I see, and I wanted to bring this out, is helping our young people to see the importance of being pure, not just in body, but in mind. That's our responsibility. But not just to the young people, to the congregation. And so I throw this in. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 22, to abstain from all appearances of evil. Young people, if you really want to get off on the right step, put yourself in a position where you're not compromising your virginity, compromising your holiness, your righteousness, your name. Don't compromise. Well, we need to be telling that to the congregation as well. And so that's some of the things I wanted to consider. Another thing I want us to consider as it relates to the roles, the work of eldership. Go to Acts 15 real quick. Got about 15 minutes. Y'all give me an extra 30 minutes and we'll be out by 6:30. I got an amen from Brother Leon Ryan. I said, we have authority now. Let's go. Life choices. But sometimes we have conflict. Well, what are the purpose of elders? What is some of their work? And here at 9th and Main, we have been involved in this. You have people that, well, they just find it hard to get along with each other. So you got to bring them in. We got to talk to them. You got one on one side, you got one on the other, and you got to get them to see eye to eye some kind of way. So you hear, now listen to this. You hear both sides of the story. You just don't take one side. Amen? You just don't take one side. Well, I heard what so-and-so said, and so-and-so said this. Man, you're wrong. You need to apologize. So you're not going to hear what I have to say? No, he said enough. Brethren, that's not right. An elder should not do that. The work of an eldership is to be able to resolve conflict. Acts 15, starting in verse number 6. There's a few things I want us to point out that I thought was pretty interesting. And I know contextually we're dealing with an issue dealing with circumcision and the Gentiles and Jews. And they're having this issue amongst one another. And we have the element of the apostles there. And when we think about the apostles today, we have the apostles' doctrine. So the apostles are represented, but they are represented through the word of God, the apostles' doctrine, the authority. Verse 6. Now the apostles, and who else were there, brethren? And elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said, "Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice, or God chose among us, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." That's a very interesting passage. "Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they." So it's equal footing. But we have an issue between the Jews and the Gentiles. And so we have this conflict. Verse 12. It was a key passage here. "Then all the multitudes kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. And after they had become silent, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the word of the prophets agree, just as it is written." So he's quoting from Amos 9, 11 and 12. Drop down to verse 16. "Known to God from eternity are all his works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses had throughout many generations those who preached him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren." And so they write this letter. So I want to make this point. Here we have this conflict. We got this issue. We got this problem. And the leaders in the church, Brother Royce, they went to work. They didn't leave that conflict there. They didn't let it fester. As a matter of fact, here's an issue. We need to gather the congregation together, and leaders need to make sure that they're working to get people to get along with each other. As much as lies within you, live at peace at what? With all men. Now, we're making these comments because it's important. You drop down to verse number 30, and I want you to see something here. That when elders get involved in conflict resolution, of course, this is after brethren have done their part. You have an ought with a brother. You have an ought with a sister. Matthew 18, 15 through 20. Go to them. Go to them alone. Settle that matter. Well, perhaps you can't get it settled. Now you take two or three. Can't get it settled. Now you take it before the church. Well, you get the elders involved, and hopefully we can get some type of resolution, some type of conclusion, and get some harmony back going on in the local work. Look at verse 30. "So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together," now watch this, "they delivered the letter. When they had read it," they what, brethren? What? They rejoiced. It wasn't further chaos and confusion and unrest and people were upset and mad. No, here we have an issue. We have a conflict. The work of the shepherds in the church is to get people to get along with each other based upon the truth of the gospel, based upon the word of God. Hopefully, men and women in the Lord's church will humble themselves to want to do what God's will is. Therefore, we can have some type of reconciliation, some type of conflict resolution. Notice what he says in verse 32. "Now, Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles." So I wanted to make that particular point there because sometimes you're going to have issues. You're going to have problems in the church. And when Jesus was dealing with Matthew chapter 18, 15 through 20, the church had not yet begun, but he anticipated issues and problems in the church. And just as he gives the remedy, the prescription, if you will, to take care of these issues, the Lord's men, the elders in the church, are responsible for making sure that we take care of these conflicts. Any comments? Any questions? Anybody? James 5. In James 5, we see that elders have the responsibility of visiting. There's this book, "And They Smell Like Sheep." The title is powerful. And some of the things that shepherds must do in spending time with people, getting them where they need to be, where they can actually prosper in Christianity. One of the tasks of an elder is to visit those who are sick. In James chapter 5, Brother Dietrich, if you don't mind, verse 14 and 15, I want us to consider this not just from a physical perspective, but spiritual. And I believe the text pulls that out. James 5, 14 and 15.
Is anyone among you rather call for the elders of the church? Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven.
All right, thank you. When we consider this, these are some of the things that I wrote down that I thought would be beneficial. Number one, elders must position themselves to be contacted by those who are sick. Now, if you look at the text closely, because I've been in this business a long time, I was sick and nobody contacted me. Well, hold on, Brother Ryan, the text says if you're sick, do what? You call the elders. That's the text. I can't make this stuff up. I ain't smart enough. He said, you said call the elders. It's as if God is saying, okay, you won't be there. You can't be in the midst of the flock. You make yourself accountable. But elders have to put themselves in a position to be contacted. I've seen some men not here, and not even elders who have been here, you just couldn't reach them. Be like, yeah, I contacted the elder so-and-so, but man, he never called back. Like, wow. That's not a lie. That's truth. Elders have to be in a position that they can be contacted. But notice the text. Notice what he goes on to say. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them do what? Pray over him. Now, elders have the responsibility of making contact with them. So, I'm sick. Brother so-and-so, can y'all come see me? We'll be over there tonight. We'll be over there tomorrow. And so, it's not enough for them to contact you or us as elders. The work is to go and make contact with them. And if you look at the text real closely, notice what he says. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So there's that idea of a smearing, of getting close to them, if you will. I know there may be some miraculousness to that. That's not today. But notice, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. I believe there's your spiritual part right there. So you go and you find out what's going on. Why are you sick? Well, Brother so-and-so, I'll be honest with you. I have been under the weather, and I appreciate you being here. But while you're here, I do have some spiritual matters that I need to deal with. But one of the work of the elders is to get involved in the life of the members and ask them questions. How can we help you? And they smell like sheep. Elders have the responsibility of making sure that they smell like sheep. And if sin is involved, then we need to help bring them to repentance. That's our responsibility. Say that louder so everyone can. That's right. That's right. Anyone else? Anybody else want to make a comment? You think about the work. It's a difficult work. And there's some men that get involved in this work and they don't know what they're getting themselves into. It's not enough to just sit back and let members fall by the wayside. We have a responsibility. And so here, members are to contact the eldership, but elders need to make contact with them. And so there's this mutual idea taking place. Final. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Elders are responsible in their work to equip the saints. They have that responsibility. But it's a shared responsibility. It's a shared responsibility. What do you mean by that, Brother Mike? Look at verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, there's your elders, and teachers. And so we understand that the apostles and prophets, they are encouched in the word of God as relates to leadership. Then you have evangelists, then you have elders, and then you have teachers. And they're responsible for aiding the church in maturing, developing, growing, and being the people that God will have them to be. Notice verse 12. Number one, for the equipping of the saints. The responsibility of the elders is to equip the saints. It's our responsibility to make sure that the curriculum that is being put forth as feeding is according to the word of God. That's our responsibility. Hence the reason we got Brother Brian, he's over education. And he's always saying, hey, if you can help us out, help us out. But we don't want just anyone teaching. But then we have material and we have curriculum that has been designed for your uplifting, for your edification, for your spiritual development. And we want to make sure that teachers are buying into that to make sure that the people of God are being equipped. But notice what he goes on to say. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the building up or the edification or the edifying of the body of Christ. So getting everyone involved, that's our responsibility. Making sure that people are getting involved in the work, because usually when they don't get involved in the work, they tend to fall off. Now, there are some that fall away from the church, yet they still attend the worship service. That's the challenge. That's hard right there. The ones that actually leave, they kind of make it easy for us because we see that they have defected, they have gone away, they have left. Now we need to go on after them. But it's hard when they have left, but they're still here. And this is why we got to pay attention. And this is why you have to ask questions. And this is why you have to smell like sheep. And y'all have to allow the elders to smell like sheep as well, which means you put yourself in a position to be known by them. Notice the time word, verse 13. I'm almost finished. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, notice, to a mature, a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Another idea here, that we should no longer be children, meaning immature, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of teaching. And so another work of the elders is to help the church mature, to keep the church from falling victim to false teaching and false lifestyles, and to keep the love of the message and the preaching of the gospel in front of the people of God. That's our responsibility. But we don't do it by ourselves. We have qualified teachers. We have other evangelists. We have men that are actually helping you. Then you got your sisters who are involved in teaching as well in the back, but not just here at the building, but abroad. It's so important that everybody is on board and that everybody, according to 1 Corinthians 12, have a responsibility. Now, notice what he goes on to say, and I'll close with this. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Another responsibility, another work of eldership is getting everybody involved. It's hard. It is hard to get everybody involved. And one of the challenges that I've seen in my years is getting everybody a job. It's hard. Because there's some part of the sheep, part of the flock, rather, they don't want a job. And we still have to remember the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he was talking to John. The Spirit said, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters freely. Can't make people work, but you put them in a position where they can work. Yes, sir.
Final statement.
Yes, sir.
The opposite. We have some people that want to work and aren't really qualified to work. We have to work through that, too.
Got to work through that.
It's not personal. It's just some people are not qualified to do what they think they are qualified.
That's right. That's
hard to do.
That's hard to do.
But you have, so, yes, you have those who won't do anything. It's real easy when people want to work and they've got qualifications. You know,
that's right. That's right. Anyone else? I want to make a comment. Appreciate that. I know I probably did more talking than usual. But there's a lot of work to be done always. And so hopefully, we can help in that, and y'all can help us in that as well. I believe Brother Eric has the closing prayer, and then we'll be dismissed.